a resounding win for UNLV football on Saturday, 44-16 at Idaho, following, of course, an embarrassing loss to Howard at home, 43-40, week one. I mentioned both of them as this is the first Rebel Room since the season has gotten underway. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Mike Grimala and Ray Brewer. And if there's one word you can use to so far describe UNLV football, it's eventful. We've seen a lot happen. And Mike, you've been there every step of the way. You've had a little bit of time to digest all that you've seen. What stands out here on Monday going into a week three bye week?
Well, I think going up and winning that game at Idaho just has to be a huge relief. Like that in the post-game scrum, you know, the UNLV won the game and they went into the locker room, and then Tony Sanchez came back out onto the field to talk to the media, and he just seemed relieved. Like he just like he was happy, and which you would expect after a win, but it just seemed like there was like weight off of his shoulders, because I think he was, you know, after losing that game at Howard, this game at Idaho was always going to be one of the, you know, handful of defining games for this season, you know, the game that could go either way that, you know, UNLV wanted to win. But after losing to Howard at home, it became a must win. And that puts a lot of pressure on a team. It's much earlier in the season than I think anyone expected them to play a game with that kind of pressure surrounding it. So when they were able to come through and win it somewhat impressively, I think it was just, you know, a big relief to the team. And they can kind of move forward now and kind of try and put that Howard loss behind them.
Right, and we said all offseason how good the running game was going to be, 357 total yards, three guys with at least over 80 yards, Lexington Thomas with 190. Ray, well, shameless plug, I know you expected UNLV to win this game, and so did I. If you check out our talking points, I had labeled UNLV as a strong bet on the extra points, but I didn't expect them to win by this much, and I doubt you did either, Ray. So what do you have to say coming out of this Idaho performance?
You know, I think a game that was fairly close to the first quarter, both teams made some mistakes. I think UNLV did a good job of finishing, of taking advantage of the Idaho miscues, and really getting some good long plays and separating themselves. Considering where they were a week prior, if we would have talked last Monday, I mean, as low as you could have possibly gotten, right? You had the biggest upset in the history of the sport. But to UNLV's credit, they were able, as Sanchez says, to turn the page and move on to the next opponent, kind of salvage their season. You hate to say that two games in, but they really did. They're 1-1, and ESPN, if you believe them, has UNLV pegged to go to a bowl game, so I think they're back on track. I worry about losing Charles Williams. He had the ankle surgery this week. He's done for the year. He'll get a medical red shirt. Lexington Thomas was great against Idaho, really good, top 10 nationally in rushing. But is he have the body to hold up throughout the course of the season, and who would his backup be? And if they get one more injury at that spot, are we looking at how they were last year at wide receivers?
I mean, that's the question when you ask, does he have the body to hold up? That's my biggest concern. I mean, if you ask me straight up, you know, who I would rather have running behind this line in this offense, I would probably take Lexington Thomas over Charles Williams, just because Thomas gives you a little bit of a home run ability. He's got that deep speed, and he's a little bit better in space, I think. So you saw the two long touchdown runs against Idaho. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Lexington Thomas, as a player, he's fine. Can he hold up physically? He couldn't last year. You know, he was the number one running back last year. He started out, and then he, you know, got dinged up along the way, and he ended up, you know, missing games towards the end of the year. How long can he stay fresh? I mean, in Idaho, they got him out of there fairly early. I don't think he carried the ball much once the game got out of hand. That's something you're going to have to manage. But the offensive line was so good. Like, they were opening gigantic holes that – I mean, you saw Xavier Campbell came in, and he was successful. With this offensive line, I mean, they can go to Thomas. They can go to Campbell. After that, you know, Owens or Hollinsworth or someone like that could probably be effective, even with some of the young, inexperienced guys. They may not be as productive as Charles Williams, but that is one position where they're deep, and they are able to maybe overcome an injury like that. So that's good. Like, it's not – the season-ending loss is bad, but it's not – something that's really going to hinder the team short term.
Yeah, for sure. We always said it was a place where they had people, and you know, the offense at as a whole, I think we all expected the offense to be good, but through 2 weeks, there's not much else you can ask for. Armani Rogers Of course, it was in the loss, so it doesn't even really matter, but over 300 yards in that game and almost 300 yards again total rushing and passing against Idaho. I mean, obviously holding them to 16 points seems like there were some defensive improvements. I mean, what do you think about where the defense stands right now?
Scary moment early in the game. Idaho won the toss, and then on the first drive they had a third and short, and they went deep, and they had a receiver open for a long touchdown, but they had quarterback underthrew the ball. And you got the sense that UNLV may have dodged a little bit of a bullet there early, and then they kind of pulled together a couple times they left receivers open. But after that, they tackled strongly. They got off the field on third downs for the most part. They did a good job of letting receivers catch the ball in front of the marker and then rallying and making the tackle before they could run and pick up the first down. So you saw some improvements. Tackling would probably be the biggest thing. Against Howard, they didn't tackle. Kalen Newton just ran through them, and he was stepping through tackles, and they had a hard time bringing anyone down. But I thought against Idaho, they did a pretty good job. I can't think of any glaring examples where guys got run over or they just whiffed on tackles. And I mean, it's such a fundamental thing, you don't really talk about it. But I guess early in the season, it may take a while for that to sort of snap into place. I thought they were much better against Idaho.
Last year, I think one of the themes or one of the reasons the season got out of hand was defensively they gave up too many long passes. And that really started last year. If you go back to the Idaho game, they got burned long, and they ended up getting upset in that game, which was one that we'd kind of pegged all along as, a game the Rebels should win, right? So you saw, while Idaho didn't complete those passes, UNLV still kind of got beat a little bit. And then week one against Howard, they gave 300 rushing yards. So the offense, it looks like, it's going to score. Now, losing Williams, a big hit, but I think we go back to a few of our podcasts before the season started. We just talk about, what's this defense going to do? And, yeah, the score was great. They held Idaho to less than 20 points, but they did dodge some bullets. So, they play Ohio State in 2 weeks. Obviously, Ohio State's going to take it to them, and we'll figure it out from there.
And there was a point in that game in Idaho. I think UNLV was – they were up big. They had already broken the game open. They were up by, 2-3 scores, and – Idaho got the ball on a drive, and they threw deep again, and they had a man open behind the defense. And that was something that was kind of eye-opening. It's like, UNLV, you've got such a big lead. Really, the only way you can let Idaho back into this game is to give up quick, long touchdowns, and they were still letting receivers run behind them. So that's – if you ask me what the biggest concern is for the season in its entirety at this point, I would say that defending the deep ball. Like, that's the number one thing they have to get under control if they're going to win these games. You can be a running team and win with offense and control the clock and run for 300 yards and Armani Rogers. You can score 40 and win that way, but you just can't give up, 40, 50-yard plays that regularly. You just can't let receivers run past you like that. So that's the number one thing they got to get under control.
I think another thing that I kind of found a little strange is we talked about all offseason about, Rogers is the future, right? We're going to live and die with this kid under center. And one of the things he's going to have to do is stay out of harm's way. And I don't necessarily think he stayed out of harm's way on Saturday. I thought that, there was a few times he probably should have avoided harm, and he took it right on. And, I mean, it's obviously not in the kid's DNA to slide or whatever, but if that kid would go down, I don't know if the offense is as crisp as it was.
Yeah, there were some noticeable big hits. Like, he's a big guy. He runs inside. He's a big target. He fights for extra yards, so he's trying to break tackles. So he's taking some shots. The way I see it, it was noticeable. People were remarking in the press box as the game was going on, like, Armani's taking a lot of hits. But from my perspective, if I'm putting myself in the coach's shoes for this week and this game, coaching and calling plays to protect Armani was probably not a luxury that they could afford. It's you've got to win the game by any means necessary this week out of any week. Like, they just had to win the game first, worry about health later. Even in Armani's like the number one guy on the list that you have to keep healthy, but even he, had to take a backseat to winning the game. So if it's a third and two and they think they just need to have Armani put his shoulder down and pick up 2 yards, then that's what they were going to call because they just needed to win the game.
Yeah, totally agree. I think from where the season stood, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. That is a secondary concern at best when you kind of have to salvage the season in week 2. That being said, I mean, Ohio State, none of us think that they have a chance. I don't think anyone in the world thinks they have a chance. But what is going to be the focus going into that game? I mean, do you just go there and try not to get as embarrassed as possible to get out of there healthy? Or, you know, what are they saying about this game for the next 2 weeks?
Well, I wouldn't slam Armani into the line, you know, 20 times. But, I mean, you got to go and try to play your game, which is, you know, run the ball, try to open holes on the inside, get Lexington Thomas out into space. If you can run it 30 times and pick up some first downs, shorten the game a little bit, that's probably, you know, you're not going to win it defensively. They're not going to slow down Ohio State. If UNLV can put a few touchdowns on the board and at least keep it respectable, that's probably the best you can hope for. If you can get up around 20 points, that's probably a good day.
How much of the game planning this week is Ohio State? How much of it is the following week, your Mountain West opener, San Jose State?
I just get to know you so well, Bruce. I totally agree. I'm not giving you any junk, but I knew for sure that at some point you were going to bring up how big the San Jose State game looks now. And I think that, you know, from my experience being around college football a little bit, I think that they will, of course, outwardly say everything's about Ohio State and even tell the team that. But I'm sure that the coaches have scouted San Jose State a lot and are sneaking some stuff in there at practice to get ready for that game. Because really, you look at it, and I know we get in trouble looking ahead. Like a couple podcasts ago, we said this Idaho game is going to mean everything to their season. They got to win that, which it didn't really end up. They're still 1-1 at this point, I guess would be the easy way to say it, which we never would have expected. But, guy, you look at the schedule, and they're for sure going to be underdogs in 3 of the next 4 games. You just absolutely cannot afford, and we're back to talking about bowling and stuff with Idaho. You are not making a bowl game if you lose to San Jose State at home in 2 games from now.
Yeah, and I thought – I was the one guy, I mean, maybe others, but I had argued that San Diego State here could be a game where you may be able to manage yourself into doing it. But to see how they ran over ASU, not that ASU is a great Pac-12 team, but they have more pieces that are talented. And I'm thinking, boy, they're going to run. If the Howard kid got 300 yards on us, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's still possible. I'm not counting them out of either of those games, but you have to say they're going to be underdogs against San Diego State and at Air Force. Not to say they can't pull one of the two out, but
they win the Air Force game. They're not going to be outran about. That's a dub.
So you want to make a bet right now? Take Air Force.
That's at Air Force.
It's fine.
They're going to be at least a touchdown underdog, probably.
It could be on an airplane hangar somewhere. They're winning that game.
I'll take Air Force -7 right now.
You got it.
Okay.
You're just going to pay me off at the end of the year? How are we going to work this?
Okay, yeah. Brewers, all it takes is one win to forget about a 43-40 loss to a terrible FCS team.
Who almost beat Kent State last week.
Oh, wow. Kent State had a really good showing in week 1. I think they only lost 54-3. 45-point upset wiped off the books, according to Brewer.
It's wiped off the books. I've one time not defended them. They lost to a crappy team, and they deserve to be tarred and feathered at the town square.
You just guaranteed a win over Air Force.
That's right. And 3 weeks ago, I told you they were going to beat BYU, and you laughed at me.
I don't think they'll beat BYU either.
Have you seen that BYU offense?
Yeah, you threw that out there as though you had been proven right in the meantime with your BYU prediction when the game is yet to be played.
Well, it will be. Just text me, you guys. I expect to receive a congratulatory text from you guys that night.
All right. I think that the caliber of defenses BYU has played is quite a bit better than UNLV's. LSU and Utah, I think, are a little bit better than UNLV.
What about Portland State at home?
They still put up 21.
21, 3
what
touchdowns.
Portland State would have beat UNLV by 3 touchdowns in week 1. It's on the way they played.
UNLV still put up 40-some points.
They lost.
They lost the game. I'm not saying they didn't lose.
All right.
I'm just
having some fun with these asides. Promise you, UNLV is at least a touchdown dog at Air Force and to BYU, regardless of what Brewer says. Unless I guess maybe if BYU is 0-8 or something at that point against FBS, they've already lost one game. I guess any final thoughts? We have a week off, like we said, at Ohio State. I'll give it to you, Mike. What should we be paying attention to?
Just the defensive improvement is going to be the biggest thing to monitor over the the first half of the season. It's like I said, that's the most important thing they have to get under control. I still think that this team can get to 6 wins. They may have to add a win against someone that you don't expect. They're going to have to win an upset game at some point. They're going to have to upset someone. And they can do it. They've got an offense that can outscore teams if they can just corral the big plays. You can't allow that many big plays. That is, even though they beat Idaho, that was a concern. But, a lot of people expected them to be 1-1 after 2 weeks. They didn't take the expected route to get there. They, switched it up a little bit. But, they're 1-1. They're on track, if you will. And I think that the season is still alive, and that's the biggest thing to take out of week two.
All right, well, there you have it. For Mike and Ray, I'm Case. That was the Rebel Room. We'll be back throughout the season to break down UNLV, I guess what Brewer's calling like a 10-2 year at this point.
Yeah.
Rebel Room, thanks for listening.